Hope you're all having a great day. This is Hewan and Kingston FM 95.3, 98.5, the most southern station in the nation. And right now, very importantly, I have the very, very lovely Louise Mace. Thank you so much for coming in, Louise. And Louise is here to talk to us about ageing and age care and all those delightful things. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Fiona. And thanks so much to you too for having me in. It's a real delight to be here.
Absolutely my pleasure. So tell us a bit about yourself. What's going on?
A bit about myself. I moved here about 5 months ago. We relocated. I'm a grandmother and a mother, and we relocated part of our future-proofing our older life to the beautiful Huon Valley. And formerly I had a career in healthcare and aged care for about 25 years, and I also a project management business where I dealt with multiple big projects for health and aged care. And in 2016, after a very personal experience, I decided to establish a business where I felt a need in aged care advocacy and planning. And in doing that, it actually became quite successful in the mainland. And we've been solving a lot of problems for a lot of people. So this is who I am now. I've relocated myself and the head office of that business to Tasmania, and I'm keen to help people here as well.
Okay, so that's fantastic. Because personally, I mean, we've met before, and we were talking about this, and I myself have had a pretty big run dealing with parents and aged care, and advocating it's just so important. I mean, when you're in the middle of a aged care crisis, and they often come up, don't they? And they happen
they
so
do.
Fast. Everything's going along so well, and then boom, just like that.
Tsunami.
It's emotional and all that sort of stuff. So if I'd have had someone like you, I'd have been throwing myself at your feet.
I would have gladly received you.
And there is help out there, isn't there?
There's so much help.
How do you find it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. There's a minefield of services, and they're all different, and it's not easy to find that help. The very first step for anyone going into the aged care arena is to really probably do the My Aged Care phone number, go onto the website and dial My Aged Care. But it's not just about home care and residential care, as you found out, and as I found out in my experience, and the reason I started this business, was very, very personal, and it's very big. You need a good daughter or a good son, really, and someone who's got the time and energy and expertise to circumnavigate everything for you.
That's absolutely right. So your business is called New Way to Stay, and as you say, there's a lot of people out there, and as the world turns so fast, and as you're getting older, you know, that spinning of technology and you know how things work and phone calls, and you know, I know that my parents personally, there's, you know, trying to deal with technology on their own was nigh on impossible.
That's a very real point, Fiona. We see that all the time. And time poor children, who the adult children who may be very well versed in that technology, finding the time when they're, because we're working much older now, and you know, women are working and men are working, and we're working because we have to.
And usually by the time our parents are that age, that's, you know, we're at sort of peak level with work, aren't
we? Exactly right. And our parents are living longer, which is wonderful. I mean, we have this whole positive aging movement, and we are living longer, productive lives. And a person at 65, even though they're deemed officially as being eligible for the aged care system at over 65, 65's young these days.
Certainly is.
95 is young in many circumstances, depending on the individual and how, you know, how they've been impacted by their health.
Well, I've got to say, my 94-year-old stepdad absolutely considers himself still very young.
And I second you on that. I have a 94-year-old stepdad. Actually, he's 93, but he's amazing. I think he's got more energy than I do.
Yes, well, mine's a little bit more sort of in care. But when we're dealing, how do we, because these things are all very hard, isn't it? We don't talk about ageing until almost it's too late.
We don't, and it's a really sad thing. And I've done a bit of work in the past and recently with a few experts and talks that we've done and seminars on ageism in society, and the fact that it's inept a little bit in everybody, sadly. And the ageing journey is so frightening for someone who is really just looking forward to a good retired life. And yes, the risk is higher once we age, the risk of your health decline and getting dementia or your mobility being impacted, all of that is much higher, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's an automatic part of aging. It's your health. It's not you know, it's not necessary. It's a shame that we put the two together, because health decline and ageing can be two very different things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're all just but a moment away from a life-changing incident or accident.
Absolutely.
Or anything that comes from within, you know.
And
so, it can.
And
we don't want to
be classified. Nobody does.
No.
You know, I'm in that bracket now. I'm aging. I might be, like you said, like my stepfather, yours might be 94 and robust, or you might be 55 and very frail.
Indeed. What would you say dealing with parents, you know, when you're talking to your parents and you realise before they do, which I think is quite common, that they might need a bit of help, but they could be quite reluctant to accept that?
Well, I think it's trying to understand and getting into their shoes how they're feeling, and that the old aged care vehicle did often mean taking control and disempowering a human being if they demonstrated that they are starting to have falls or lose their memory or something might happen, that there was this jump from conclusion A to conclusion F very quickly. And so there is, unfortunately, a bit of fear about honesty about what's going on. And I think when you communicate with your parents, just being very open-minded to and clear, and for those people who are suffering themselves, that there are opportunities to stay at home and live productive lives. It's just about knowing how to tap into those opportunities, to not automatically assume the worst scenario, independence starts to fade.
So what would you say would be the most common hiccups that people
across? It's lack of safety, and it's lack of, people aren't communicating with their children, or the children are in that state of, my mum and dad are fine, but it's really about getting in, looking at the fridge, is their nutrition where it should be, and spending that time paying attention to those signs that may not automatically be communicated, and making sure that they're with their doctor enough and that their relationship with their GP is solid enough that they're really, if they don't want to talk to their children about it or their spouse or a friend, to at least have that very open dialogue with their GP, because the GP being their health point of contact will help them
it's really
guide
important,
them.
Isn't it?
And look, if your parents allow it, or your partner, sometimes it's a really good thing to go to that GP appointment with them and sit with them and have that conversation together, because it is a journey that can affect the whole family, and it often does, as you know, as a daughter, and I certainly do. I had that experience, which is why I started the business in the first place. It's very real. So
okay, well, we're going to go for a song.
Yeah, great.
So this first one we've got here is The Church, Under the Milky Way, and this is your choice.
Yes, well, obviously Tassie, the Milky Way is more brilliant here than anywhere I think I've ever seen in my life, so
absolutely.
I thought it would be remiss not to ask for that song.
All right, so here we go. This is The Church, Under the Milky Way. Thank you. So tell me about the business.
Well, I founded this business after a very intense personal experience, which, of course, I know is very common. You have been through one yourself as a busy daughter running it, you know, with a big job and grandchildren and a life, and just entering into that realm where my children were old enough to have left home and they were having their kids. And my father suddenly got very ill, and he had been a very independent, happy-go-lucky, you know, healthy, reasonably healthy bachelor, and I was his only child. And when that slippery slope began, I thought to myself, well, isn't that good that I've worked in aged care and healthcare. I'm an experienced project manager. My husband, Les, has worked in the financial services industry, not as an advisor, but managing licensees for many, many years. So we're going to really manage his situation really well. We're really well versed for it. But I was wrong, Fiona, because there's so much to it. You know, I mean, we helped him, and it was good that we had that experience, but the reality is his legal situation was out of date. I didn't have power of attorney. I didn't ever want to even ask about that, because I just had this mentality about it, and so did he. So I had when he was hospitalised frequently in ICU, I had no control over paying his bills. I was sort of sitting on the edge of his hospital bed trying to get his shaky hand to sign checks, and I realised how much that should have been dealt with. He was not getting benefits, and he hadn't for years, when we had a good look and thought he was entitled to far more than he got. There was so many. His doctor, he didn't have a geriatrician, which we felt at that point he really needed one. there were just so many moving parts that I realised going through that journey, and I sadly lost him after the 2 year struggle and me actually leaving my job because of that too, because I found personally as a daughter the juggle and the prioritisation of my career and my father whose life was at risk. There was just no choice but for me to leave my job, so I did leave my job, and
that's huge, isn't it?
It was huge, and I fought hard for that job, you know.
Yeah,
of course. Woman, it's not that easy to get into a senior role, but it was the right thing to do, and I did leave, and he passed away not long after that, and I felt, what would I have wanted? What's missing? And I would have wanted someone who had all, because I had all that experience, but was already established and had really done due diligence on service providers that could match my needs, whether it was my health, my legal situation, my finances, aged care benefits, home safety, occupation, or psychologists. There's a whole myriad, as we know. That's why I established and came up with a name, New Way. It's New Way to Stay in Control of Your Life, basically. And from the financial planning perspective, there's this whole other arm, which we're happy to talk about any other time later on, but that means aged care financial advice is a very separate thing to financial advice.
Yes.
It's very specialised, it's very specific.
Loads of layers.
And complicated.
Oh, so complicated.
Very complicated. You know, you need help.
You really do.
If you want to do it properly and get the best benefit for yourself, it just goes without saying that it's good to employ someone good. But employing someone good that's compatible to you is the key.
Yes.
So, I set up this business called New Way to Stay, which is based on an approach where we come into the home. It is quite often the daughter or the son that contacts us, and occasionally the wife or the husband. And we get a variety of situations. It could be somebody who's got early onset dementia partner. It could be somebody looking to downsize themselves or relocate or stay at home and see what has to happen, how that would work. Mm-hmm. And, we meet with the family. We have the initial phone call. So anyone's welcome to ring us and just chat over their circumstances to see whether we're the right fit. And then we go out normally into the home and just have a cup of tea and just sit down. And quite often they invite their family and we sit down and we go, now let's just sit down and look at what you're worried about.
Yes.
What's happening right now, or what are you afraid that might happen? And quite often it's the first assumption is, well, we think dad just needs, or mum needs care, home care, maybe 2 days a week, a couple of hours. But if that's all they need. But quite often there's more. But we don't know. We don't even know how to apply for a home care package. Or we have, and no one's ever contacted. There's a whole thing. So we put it all together for them, basically, and then we can project manage whatever their goals are.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I know when I was dealing with my parents, I was just literally running full pelt, but blind. I started with the doctor, and I started going to her doctor's appointments and doing that sort of
And you're a mother
and my child's still at school and working. And
carer burnout, Fiona, is a real thing. There's a lot written on that. You know, people, often the carer can end up with more complex health issues and more risk than the person they're caring for. that's real statistics. If anyone wants to ever go on to Carers Australia or Carers Tasmania, they've got all these wonderful research documents, but they're there to help too. You know, it isn't a matter of not us living in a country where there's not an abundance of support, like Alzheimer's Australia or Dementia Australia to go to. It's knowing where to go.
That's it.
And how to line it up properly for you. Fine.
That's it. And I've got to say, if you are not au fait with internet and computers and things like that, you are going to struggle. You really are. I mean, I was blessed with a fantastic ACAT contact.
Yeah.
She was pretty helpful, but you know, ACAT does what ACAT does, and they don't really do much else. They can try and put you into contact with some other people.
Well,
they're hamstrung
to a certain point because they're so overrun. They are wonderful, though. They're an amazing organisation.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, the government has, we put a lot of torch and a lot of spotlight on the negatives, but we have a wonderful system.
Yes.
In reality, it's just so convoluted and confusing.
It's just finding out what it is that
it's
you
rolling
can
out.
Get
yeah,
to,
rolling you know? Out in a hurry in a demographic of aging people with a rapidly aging population, and it's keeping up and working out how to best make that work and keep everybody in control.
And I've got to say, through my whole experience, and my parents are well and fine and happily ensconced in the wonderful Huon Regional Care now, and that's because that was best for them. The whole time we were going through it, all I kept thinking was, I wish I had a project manager because I kept thinking, no, you can. And it was just, there was so much, it was snowballing.
Yeah. And that's what I actually feel as equally passionate about, helping those that were in the same situation as I was, because my health started declining.
Yes.
And
yes.
And that actually means a lot to me too, in Dad's legacy too, that there are people now that are getting on with their life, and that they can have that quality time with their family versus being their project manager. Of multiple changing scenarios every day, often towards the end of their much loved parent or partner's life, when they really just want to have focus on quality time. They don't want to be working for them.
No,
they want to
be
spending time with them,
having a relationship with them, as opposed to being, like an employee almost.
Exactly.
It's sort of sometimes that's what it felt like, you know.
Yeah.
And having to run down and pick them up off the floor, and then sort of having
and the constant worry: if they have an emergency system, are they wearing it, or are they living at home? Are they lonely? Have they fallen? They haven't answered the phone for 3 hours or a day. I'm working, but how do I get around to check on them? All those things.
You've got the minefield of the constant phone calls as well.
So that can go
from one extreme to another and all that sort of stuff. And just, sort of worrying about
people in
their lives as well, because they're vulnerable.
But the good news is it's not all doom and gloom. Most people on statistics don't go into residential care.
Five
out of 20 people over the age of 75, 80 will end up in residential care. Most people, and more people, are ageing successfully and healthily in their own home, thanks to early diagnosis. I mean, have your health checks, do your colon checks, do your mammograms, do everything you can. Even at our age, any age, I'm in my mid-late 50s, but, every age is important. Look after your health as best you can. Take advantage of what the system offers you.
That's it. But you've got to find it out. I mean, there is so much out there.
Yes.
That you can offer, your loved ones or even yourself. I mean, because we all really have to look at this for ourselves as well. It's not just our parents.
Oh, we often, when we put our solution, our report together, we often always include a clause if we see that, the partner is suffering or the children are suffering, an area where we recommend or suggest some really good psychologists that might be able to help them.
Good,
or psychiatrists, depending on where they're at in that journey. But, that can help them talk through what they're going through.
Yeah, and that is... That is very helpful, actually, isn't it?
Because it isn't,
you don't have to be mad to go to a psychologist
or
a therapist. It's just, they're such a helpful.
And the caring thing in the older stage of life, when things start to go a bit haywire versus when you're raising children.
Mm.
I mean, we work in an environment now where employers are a little bit more proactive to childcare and supporting working mothers, probably not as much as many would like, but that is there.
Mm.
But a child will typically grow older and more independent.
Yes.
For an aging parent that's getting more frail in time, that can be a real unknown. You don't know.
Yes.
That could just get harder and harder, not easier. It's worth it to work together as a family.
Yes, it is.
As much as you can.
And what about the Royal Commission? I suppose the Royal Commission really had more of an impact on residential care.
And home care. It looked at both home care providers and residential care, and it shone a light on quite an inadequate system, which we knew. There's a lot, and it's very complex. It's very deep. It's not one to jump to a whole lot of conclusions instantly. But, yes, it was flawed. There's 148 page recommendation out of the 300 page summary, so I could sit here for 2 hours talking about what they intended to do. And I won't. Don't worry. But the upshot
is, we have that much time.
There's four points. If I'm going quickly. It's going to be rights based and more consumer controlled.
Mm-hmm.
They want better governance in aged care settings and for home care providers.
Yep.
They are intending to have better training and introduce Cert Certificate 3 for trainers. Better wages, better conditions.
Yes, that's important.
And then there was the fourth aspect. It's all very complex, but all these things that we want to do, which we know, and all those recommended, costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole complex series of financial modelling that's been suggested to pay for, more time with an RN, more time with the patients, better training, better wages, more governance, more control. That was a little bit more ambiguous than I would have liked to have seen it. But I understand why it sort of has to. But a lot of this should be rolling out by 2023, July this year, some of them.
Yeah, that's really good. How would you start these conversations with your parents?
Well, I think it's getting them to have that conversation with you, really, and by asking the right questions, paying attention to the signs. Have they had more falls? I mean, one fall is one thing, but two falls, three falls, checking in the fridge, is that how are their groceries going?
Yes, the fridge is important.
The fridge, the food, nutrition.
Mm-hmm. And just talking, really, isn't
just
it?
Just talking and being there and helping them understand that the way that our government works, everything works now, is designed to help people stay in their own home for as long as they can. Nobody wants anybody to go into residential care unless they have to.
No, that's right.
Unless there's no other choice.
That's exactly right.
So the sooner people get on board with putting their hand up saying, I think that I could do with some help. I'm over 65. I'm on a full pension. I may qualify for an aged care home care package. Mm-hmm. Then I would say, get in the queue now. Yes, there are long queues, but get in the queue now and don't wait.
That's
call
right.
your ACAT assessor. Have the conversation. It might only be a one or two. It might be a four. There's four levels.
That's right.
But don't wait. Get your entitlements as quickly and as soon as you can, even if you have to wait in that queue.
I've got to say, that's so true. And that was very, very true of us, because if it's about your parents or even your partner, you need the soft landings.
Yes.
You need things to be already in place for when those things really come up, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely.
Those tsunamis, as we said before, that can they're a much better ride if you've got something to hang on to.
Or you've
right?
got a boat and a life class, or you've got a map on how to get to higher ground.
No, exactly. Right, let's have another song. So this next one is Fleetwood Mac, Landslide. Tell us about that one.
Oh, I think the lyrics just have to speak. That's the context of this interview, Landslide, about the different stages that we all go if we're lucky enough to have long lives through our life. Just, the lyrics, I think, just speak to me.
Absolutely. I love this song.
I love
a bit of Fleetwood Mac.
Me too.
From my mum, actually. She loved them. Anyway. That was Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. Such a fantastic song and beautiful. So while we were listening to Landslide, we had a call from Diane, who'd had a bad fall. She said she's 72 and she felt really let down by ACAT. That she said she really needed some help, and they turned around and said, we just don't have anyone available. What would have been the best thing for her to do?
Well, I guess for one thing, ACAT are only really there to qualify you for care. They're not a home care provider. They're just an assessment tool.
Great,
so
yeah.
ACAT wouldn't necessarily take care of a problem in an emergency. They're there to say, yes, we qualify you for a 1, 2, 3, or 4 package or for residential care.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say if you have a bad fall and you don't have home care, a package or home care established, to definitely go through the healthcare system and contact your GP in his after hours.
Yeah.
And if that's not an option, go to hospital, because a bad fall can mean many things, and particularly for someone that's frail, and it's not something that you want to just leave, you know.
No, and if you're struggling with mobility,
if you're struggling,
after that,
if you can't get there, call an ambulance, go to hospital. You know, a bad fall's a bad fall, and it shouldn't be home care, really. I think you need to, as hard as that is, you need to go to hospital.
Yeah, and I suppose if you do take a bad fall to hospital, then they actually are obliged to help you and make sure that. I know that one of my parents went to hospital for a little while, and there was an after hospital care.
There's transitional care. There's so many different types of care. There's transitional care. There's a care that you can ask for when you're in hospital.
Yep.
If you're being discharged, you can ask to speak to the social worker to help set up a care at home, so transitioning in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You can have short-term restorative care in your home.
Yeah.
There's actually a whole lot, and it's all on the My Aged Care website, but we're, of course, happy to talk anyone through that as well if they want advice.
So if we want to get in contact with you, Louise, what's the best way?
We've got a 1-800 number, 1-800-370-7. So that's 1-800-370-7. And we're available pretty well 9 to 6 Monday to Friday for all the clients that are working with us. We go outside those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that are comfortable with the websites, the website is newwaytostay.com.au, all one word, newwaytostay.com.au. And we've got an email, which is inquiries@newwaytostay.com.au. But we have a team. There's myself here and Les, and also our other girls that are here to help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very passionate about making a difference.
That's fantastic. If anyone needs to speak to Louise, they're more than happy to receive your calls, and that's on 1-800-370-7077.
Yeah.
I had that right. I wasn't sure if I did.
You had it right. I was actually trying to remember. My memory wasn't failing me.
And so I'd really like to start. We're kind of coming to the end of this now, and I'd for today. But Louise is going to. You are going to come back, aren't you, Louise?
I'd love to come back if you'll have me, and if the listeners are interested, because this is, you know, bigger than 30 minutes.
Absolutely, yeah. No, Anna sort of jammed quite a lot of this in, so I think we'll have you back probably in June if you're available.
June sounds good to me.
Alrighty, that'd be great. We're almost there anyway. think we'll touch on finances next time too, I think.
Finances is a big one, and benefits, and gaining access to the benefits that you're entitled to.
That's it.
Whether you're on a pension or not, and how, and actually I'll probably bring in Les if that works for you.
Oh no, that's fantastic.
He's a great speaker one, but he has a world of knowledge in the space of the importance of good financial advice that's specific to your needs.
And I just want to go back, because this was something that was pertinent to my situation as well, is that when your parents, like when their driving licenses are out of date, when their passports are out of date, when all their ID and all that sort of stuff is,
it's hard.
That's a very large
hurdle. And even after they, which is a hard, sad part too, but if they pass away, then that is very hard too.
Yes.
But all that stuff, and get it, even knowing whether, you know, well, there is a process that they have to get their license checked after a certain age every year anyway to qualify, and there are other avenues you can go down if you want to, if you really believe that your parent or yourself shouldn't be driving. But even that could be
Absolutely, yes, yes. Well, we can always do a few more, because I think this is a really interesting and really pertinent subject, and I think we all should be really aware of it. But just also for us as well, you know, for ourselves, you make sure you've got your ducks in a row, because anything can happen to anyone at any time.
And it's the psychology. I'm a really big believer the psychology of aging and getting moving away from ageism in society.
That's right.
We are, because we're all going to be, you know, if we're lucky, we'll all be older adults soon. We'll be a significant proportion of our population will be over 65 in the next 30 years.
No, absolutely.
It won't be an error, and so we all need to, you know, have a better outlook on and a better perspective on what ageing actually means.
I think you just got to get much further down that rabbit hole than we all think. You cannot deny that we are all going to get older.
If we're lucky, yes, that's
right.
We are getting luckier and luckier with that. So.
Yes, we are. Yeah. So I just want to say a massive thank you so much. That really was very clear and great interview.
Thank you for coming in.
It's a really interesting subject, though, isn't it?
There's a lot of work to be done.
There is a lot of work to be done, and getting it out there. And also, we shouldn't be afraid to be talking about getting older. It shouldn't be such a stigmatism. No, I think we should be...
Absolutely.
Know,
that's the ageism part.
Yes,
proud of getting older and positive ageing and looking forward to a good, productive, long life.
That's right.
As best we can. That's the whole thing. I guess the key message that I need to say, plan ahead. Don't wait for a crisis. Plan.
Think ahead.
And doesn't mean it's doom and gloom. Plan for positive ageing experiences and put everything in place for the risk of part of it.
Live long. Don't wait for the reality.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Right, thank you so much, Louise. You're listening to Huon and Kingston FM. We were just talking to Louise Mace from New Way to Stay about ageing and aged care and future-proofing our lives.